The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC alongside Alejandro Moreno. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Alex, so much to get to on this day. Action from across the Premier League and La Liga in just a little bit. We'll hear from Pablo Zabaleta. We'll hear from Nate Manua. We'll also hear from Frank Leboeuf. But let's start in Spain. Real Madrid with a smashing performance in the second half. A 5-2 victory against Celta de Vigo at home. First time at the Bernabeu in over 18 months. The story of the game, Karim Benzema, he had a hat trick. Eduardo Camavinga getting a goal 6 minutes after coming on for his Real Madrid debut. Vinicius Jr. a goal as well as Real Madrid score 4 in the second half to overtake Celta Vigo. Pablo, I'll start with you. What was the difference for Real Madrid in that second half?
Well, I think the quality in the final third. I mean, we have been saying about Vinicius. You know, years ago, he was a player, probably was not an end product, you know. And now you can see he can run in behind. He got the pace. He's a dribbler. But the composure is everything in football. And that is what makes the difference in the final third. And I think, you know, Benzema, as always, he's the main man for that team. You know, having Benzema, you know that they will score goals. And it was a good performance. You know, defensive probably, they're still not quite right yet. Hopefully they can bring Alaba, Mendy back soon. I think they will improve with those players in their defense. But overall, I think the quality up front made a difference for them.
Ale, we keep seeing kind of step after step in the evolution of Vinicius. Do we see another one today?
Yes. No question about it. Now, we have made the observation that Vinicius has demanded a place in this starting 11. And right now, if I'm Carlo Ancelotti and I'm writing down my starting 11, Karim Benzema, number one, Vinicius, right there next to him.
Ahead of Bale and Hazard.
I have no doubt whatsoever that this guy should be on the field. Mm. And you just see it in the performance. You see it in the quality of play and taking players on. Always impactful, always making a difference. When he gets the ball now, in the final third, or the attacking half for that matter, you know who I think of? A young Eden Hazard. Mm. A guy who breaks somebody down in a 1v1 situation, who's going to create a chance for himself or for others, and he's doing it on the left-hand side, he's going to the right-hand side, he's running in behind, he's active, and most importantly, he's got final product in him. He's got goals. You put all of that together, and Vinicius Jr. is really climbing the ladder as to one of the best wingers in the world.
Yeah, you made the comparison to a young Eden Hazard, who definitely was, at that moment, one of the best players in the world. How far are we from Vinicius Jr. entering that conversation?
Well, he's getting there. Performance after performance. Now, we have to see consistency, right? Early on, it's been great. Early on, 4 matches in, you have to say, man, this guy has taken a leap. And maybe it's maturation, maybe it's growth, maybe it's confidence, maybe all those things put together, maybe it's work after training. The fact that now you see a quality to his finishing that was not there before, even as far as last year, as soon as last year. The questions with Vinicio were never, hey, does he have the talent? Can he dribble somebody? He can dribble whoever he wants to. But the final product wasn't there and the final decision wasn't there. You're seeing it now. If that becomes a consistent level of productivity for Vinicius, yeah, he's right there at the very top of this conversation.
No Gareth Bale in the starting lineup today. So your wide players then are Eden Hazard and Vinicius Jr. How do you think they linked up, especially in the first half? Because there were some times where they seemed to be almost on top of each other.
Well, Eden Hazard is the sort of player that if he's going to play on the inside, then he's got to become the second striker next to Karim Benzema. And in this sort of play where Vinicius cuts it back, attack the ball. You are that guy. You have to be the guy because Karim Benzema is taking the defender to the far post, and then you are the trailing player. And yet you didn't really see that from Hazard. Now, there were touches today from Eden Hazard that were encouraging. The spring on the right-hand side where he gets around Jason Murillo, you go, hey, Eden, that's a full-on sprint. You got there first to the ball. You saw that change of pace, which we don't see a lot of from Eden Hazard. But what really troubles me or concerns me is the fact that you see him coming towards the ball all the time into crowded areas. He's playing sort of that free roll underneath sort of guy, not the guy that is going to take players on. So maybe we just accept the fact that this is what Eden Hazard is going to be from here on out. But then, if you're Real Madrid and Carlo Ancelotti, you have to have an option on the right-hand side. Because then this team just, what it does is they lean to the left. Mm. And there isn't an outlet on the right-hand side. So Fede Valverde took that position at times, and he was the option down the right-hand side. But naturally, you don't have that. If you have Cruz, Modric, and Casemiro in the middle, Cruz is not going out there on the right-hand side, and neither is Modric. So where's the width going to come from? Is it going to have to be Carvajal? Perhaps. I just see Eden Hazard right now taking much more of a central role than a guy who's going to take players on in wide areas.
Pablo, what did you make of Hazard's performance today?
Well, he looks dangerous a couple of times in the first half. He looked sharp, you know. Probably then the second half was a bit tired. But obviously, he has to do more. I think different with Vinicius, he just want to take people on. He just want to make, you know, runs in behind. He want to go forward every single time. And this is what we have seen from Hazard many times when the years ago, that he was so dangerous for 90 minutes. He was, as a defender, he was a nightmare to play against him. So it looks like every single time he comes, you know, to deep position, he wants a ball into feet every single time. But I think, as he did in the first half, a couple of runs forward, and that is probably the hardest that we expect to see during 90 minutes.
Real Madrid then 5-2 winners. They pick up the 3 points against Celta de Vigo. Let's send it back now to the Santiago Bernabeu, where we have Martin Einstein standing by with Thibaut Courtois.
It was very hard to be away of the Santiago Bernabeu Stadium, your home, not having the fans. Take me to that feeling of coming back home with the fans, hearing them so close and cheering, you know, the team and backing up the team.
Yeah, it's really nice. I think for us it will change a lot, especially when you play at home. You feel the support of the fans, you feel the big stadium, you know, that scares always opposing teams, you know, when we played last year or last 1.5 years in Valdebebas in Di Stefano. It's obviously nice, and we are lucky to have like this a second stadium here, but it's not the same. And for teams, it was sometimes too easy to come and play there. So to be home again with the fans, with the support, winning like this is really good.
It was a good start here at the Bernabeu, a very important win. The team works very well offensively. Eden Hazard played a very good game. I would like to talk about his performance tonight, as well as Vinicius. And on the opposite side, is the back is not working as it should. What is your opinion, your take on that?
No, we play very offensive, so we try to press high, but sometimes you leave gaps behind, and if you play against a good team, they can create actions. And we're very happy for Eden, you know, he's getting to his best form. Eden, we all know from in Chelsea and the national team, so that's really good. Also Vini finding the goal, really being dangerous, so that's really good. I think we also had a few long balls from me in the defense that almost was an assist, so I think it's really good to have that kind of speed up front and play up front, and we just have to work on the defensive part, you know, where we play against a very good side again on Wednesday in Champions League, so we'll have to do better there, but it's good to win, and defensively we will watch and speak with the team to see how we can do better.
Thank you very much, Thibaut.
Thank you.
From one sideline reporter to another, Alexis Nunez with us from the Bernabeu. What was the change in the mood there in Madrid from the first half to the second half, Alexis?
Oh, Sebi, what a difference a half makes indeed. I mean, just looking at the scoreline, you'd never know the troubles Real Madrid had in the first half. But as Ale pointed out, still not 100% convinced, because I never thought I'd ever heard Real Madrid fans questioning whether they should sign Mbappe or not. But I actually heard a couple of those whispers today. Someone said, why are we trying to sign another attacking player when look at this defense? And I know we just heard from Thibaut Courtois saying, look, that's, you know, some of the problems that does come when you're trying to press up very high. But it sounds like the fans are not convinced with this defense. Like I said before, this was painted as a David and Goliath clash. And if Celta Vigo could open up Real Madrid as they did today, you kind of question what's going to happen with some of the bigger, more experienced teams, especially when they're in the likes of the Champions League. But attacking-wise, we know the injuries that Real Madrid do seem to have, but fans obviously seem to think that they have enough attacking players to bail them out of issues, even when they go one or two goals down, as we did see today. But defensively, it seems like they do want to see a bit more work. But can we just big up my hotel friend, Eduardo Camavinga? Goal on debut. Hello. I'm so proud of him. Just the other day, having OJs in the lobby now, scoring on your debut at the homecoming of Santiago Bernabeu. It's going to be an absolute party back at the hotel later. So proud. I feel like a proud mama.
Alexis, I wonder what the response was when he came on in the 65th minute, and then what the response was from the crowd, 7 minutes later when he gets the goal?
Oh, Sammy, that's what I was actually going to say kind of stood out for me, because they gave him a roaring welcome when he came on, you know, and it was kind of nice to see, because of course there were other players, and when they've been calling out their names from the starting lineup, they didn't get as much of a cheer. But Camavinga, I think he got, if he had any questions, if he was in the right place or if they were going to embrace him, probably how he didn't feel he was being embraced at Rennes, well, they definitely gave him the answer today, because they went absolutely wild when he came on, and then when he scored again. And like I said before this, people thought that of course they would have happily taken Kylian Mbappe, and Camavinga was probably just a slight band-aid over the wound of not getting him this time. But now I think he's definitely given Real Madrid fans something to talk about. And you guys were talking about Vinicius Jr. Everyone here, absolute massive fan of him. He's definitely one to watch, even better in person. Just, we knew his talent. We knew he's a nice little trickster full of exuberance. I mean, he's still quite young, but I think Ale hit the nail on the head. He just kind of carries himself with such a confidence now that, you know, anytime he's got an opportunity in front of goal, you just kind of expect him to have the calm, cool, mature head to net it in. And I think we saw some brilliant football, at least from those guys today. But as I said, the fans kind of going to bed thinking that defensively some work needs to be done.
Camavinga then, 18 years old, very much a French phenom. Why don't we invite into the show a player who was once an 18-year-old French phenom? Frank Leboeuf with us, who must surely be in...
That's a while ago.
Must surely be in proud papa mode. What did you think of Camavinga's debut?
Yeah, thank you very much, Ali. Yeah, it's a long time ago. I don't even remember my 18 years old. But I'm so pleased for Eduardo, because, I mean, that's the best debut you can have, and we know that football is made of details, and to get into a fantastic confidence to maybe show your talent to the world and to Real Madrid fans in that matter, it's the best way to start. And he did well. He came on, you know, scored a goal, and now, you know, can work on that confidence, can work on that welcoming from the fans to build something fantastic for him and for the club. That was kind of a French night, you know, with the hat-trick of Benzema, the first goal from Camavinga, you know. Madrid is a little bit of France tonight.
Kind of a French night, he says. Give us a little more on Benzema, because it seems like this Real Madrid team isn't much without him sometimes.
You know, Karim is showing to the world that, you know, even when Ronaldo left, he stood up and showed to the world that he can be the skipper of that team. And again today, he showed consistency. I remember Mourinho telling him that he had to be a killer to score goals. And he had this finesse, because that header is absolutely fantastic. And he knows how to do everything, even penalties. When we see players playing with goalkeepers, he doesn't. He only thinks about scoring. And he can make assists as well. We saw that fantastic pass that he made to Vinicius. I mean, the confidence of Benzema is at the top. You know, he went back to with the national team. He's the captain of Real Madrid. Tonight he scored a hat-trick, made one assist. What more you can have? Nothing much.
Let's put our man Pablo Zabaleta on the spot a little bit here. Who are you going with, Pablo? Karim Benzema or the player that was linked to your former club, Harry Kane?
Oh.
Well, that is the tough questions, but I love Benzema. I mean, look at his stats. A guy who can score 30 goals in the last three seasons, you know, he's the best. is one of those players that, you know, that he will score goals and then just bring the ball into the box and that's it. You know, every time he's there, the right time, the right position, I just love him.
Mm. Is there a Benzema dependencia here with Real Madrid? I mean, we've talked a lot about the other pieces around him, but at the end of the day, it's his hat-trick that's the difference in this game.
Right. So if you're Carlo Ancelotti and you want to bubble wrap somebody in training, it's Karim Benzema. Yeah. Never mind in Hazard. Bubble wrap Karim Benzema. Because if he were to pick up an injury, drama. Mm. Tragic news for Real Madrid. There's nobody that can do what he does for this team. Nobody else. Nobody else in that group can do what he does, or even approximate what he does. He's so critically important to their success, not only because of the goals, and we see the goals, and that's clear and for everybody to see. The movement, the rotation, when he drops off into a playmaking position, when he goes into wider areas, you think, why is he getting himself away from goal? And yet, once the ball is rotated over to the other side and the ball is crossed into the box, who's there? Mm. It's him. He recognizes the space where he can build on the play, but then he also recognizes the space that he can attack the goal so that he can be the one that provides that final touch. He has so much variety and flexibility to his game, and there is a maturity to Karim Benzema in understanding, you know what? I'm the leader of this team. It's up to me. And he's not running away from that responsibility. He's right there sticking his chest out and saying, yeah, you guys need a hat trick? I'm your guy. And he continues to deliver at a very high level.
Real Madrid wins, but it's very much this match, a story of two halves. Yeah. The defensive struggles that were there in the opening 45 for Real Madrid didn't cost them in the second 45, but I think they were still there. Pablo, what did you make of the adjustments in the second half and what Real Madrid was able to do defensively?
Well, I think balance. I mean, obviously they are an attacking team. They always try to bring so much players in attacking, and obviously you have defender in that. They need to make sure that they always in the right position to avoid any counterattack. I mean, we have seen a couple of mistakes in the first half that probably they had done a bit better in the second half, but obviously there's still so much to be done in the defense. For me, Alaba, even Mendy, left back, they are two huge players for that team in the back four. Hopefully they can bring them back as soon as possible from injury. Champions League coming up. So for a team like Real Madrid, they definitely need to be more solid defensively.
Mm. I can tell you, they were fractionally better defensively in the second half. And I mean fractionally. And when I say fractionally, I really mean, okay, you know what? They didn't turn the ball over coming out of the back the way that they did in the first half for that first goal. There weren't as many mistakes passing out of the back. But still, there were chances out there for Celta Vigo. Nolito has one. Courtois has to come with a double save against a better team, with better players, with better decisions in the final third. This is a 5-5 game. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that, in that whenever Celta de Vigo was able to complete two or three passes in transition, Real Madrid's like, mommy, where do I go now? Who's got him? Who's got him? They're running and chasing shadows, and you wouldn't expect that to happen to a team like Real Madrid. But to us, neutrals, the important thing is, anytime we watch Real Madrid, we know this for certain. There are going to be goals.
Yep.
It's going to be back and forth. It's going to be open. It's going to be exciting. Defensively, not so much for this team.
The man tasked with sorting all that out, of course, the manager, Carlo Ancelotti, just spoke with our Martin Einstein.
Thank you very much. We're here with Carlo Ancelotti, Real Madrid trainer. Carlo, you created many chances tonight. It was coming back home. The people were expecting to see good football, great offensive plays, and you show that. At the same time, the back is still needs some work. What is your conclusion on the game?
Yeah, it was a quite clear game. We started not good at the beginning. We conceded goals, and then the reaction was really good. And when we thought that the game was in control, we conceded another goal. The reaction of the Sevoldal was fantastic, and that means that in front we are really good. We have to improve defensively. More sacrifice, more concentration in little details.
What do you make of the comments there?
The little detail? Yeah, it is little details, but little details that become magnified by the fact that you keep making the same sort of mistakes. Mm. And when you see the sort of spaces that they left, in particular in the second goal, the second goal to me, the first one I can say, you know what, sometimes there's a mispass, a misplay, a lack of concentration, whatever you want to call it, those things tend to happen. But the inability to understand and the lack of judgment defensively to understand, why am I sliding into a challenge 60 yards away from goal? And that's in the case of Nacho. And in doing that, not only have I taken myself out of a position where I can defend, now I've put everybody else in a position where they have to chase back, and they're nowhere near defending because you like to press higher the field. So Miguel Gutierrez was nowhere near to getting back in time. Neither was Militao. All of a sudden, you give up a goal that you should not have. In terms of what they do defensively, begin with the structure. Get that right. And then after that, you can continue to improve. I just think that Real Madrid right now, defensively, they're all over the place.
That said, three wins and a draw from their first four. Let's talk about the defending champions of Spanish football. Atletico Madrid taking on Espanyol earlier today. Antoine Griezmann.
Oh, got a haircut. Nice.
There he is. 40th minute. And it's Espanyol that go ahead to Raul de Tomas.
Raul de Tomas gets across that near post. It's a good service, looping header up and over Oblak. 1-0.
78th minute. Atleti responds. Yannick Carrasco fighting through not one, not two Espanyol defenders, but three, and finally muscling it into the back of the net.
And Espanyol looking for a foul. They're complaining here. Okay, ref, come on, we got a foul. Yannick Carrasco continues to fight. It's a good challenge. It's a good tackle. Gets his head up and then finds that far post.
That made it 1-1. Atleti weren't done. 9th minute of stoppage time. Thomas Lemar, 2-1.
They get a little fortune with the talk by Yannick Carrasco. That touch gets between the defender. Then Thomas Lemar puts his right foot behind it. Diego Lopez gets there, not strong enough with the hand off the post and in. And somehow Atletico Madrid win it.
Atletico Madrid against Espanyol, 2-1 winners as they pick up the 3 points away from home. It's kind of cliche, but it is vintage Atleti, isn't it?
It's hard to think a team at the elite level in Europe that enjoys the struggle, embraces the struggle more than Atletico Madrid does. It almost feels like they're uncomfortable winning a game 3-0. Like, well, why are we going to do that? When we can make it stressful, when we can make it intense and, oh my God, are we going to get a goal? Is it going to be late? Are we going to get a deflection here or a deflection there? It feels that this is the nature of this team, and we keep saying it time and time again because it keeps happening. So for them, I suppose the uncomfortable is comfortable. For them, the uncomfortable means 3 points, and that's the way they like to play. That's the way they like to get the results. It doesn't work for everybody, right, and it wouldn't work for most, but it works for them.
Pablo, what'd you make of Atleti's performance today? Did they cut it too close?
Well, massive 3 points, of course. I think Espanyol was the better side in the first half. They had a few great chances. But obviously, Atletico Madrid came back strong in the second half. Subs made a big impact on the game. I think Gondovia, Cunha, even Lemar, Joao Felix, they also, you know, been really good in that second half. When you look at this squad depth, you know, for Atletico Madrid, it's incredible. They have so many options, and obviously they scored righteous at the end of the game. Big 3 points for them to go with 10 points, and that was great for them.
Pablo just mentioned the subs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't only the subs. It's when they happen. At halftime, Diego Simeone realizes, okay, we're in trouble. We're having difficulties connecting the passes the way we want to. We're not creating enough opportunity. Espanyol is really taking the game to us. Guess what? Not only did he make the substitutions, he changed the formation of the team as well. He gave this team a different look, and it worked for Atletico Madrid because they looked a different group out in the second half. And that's, sometimes we talk about Diego Simeone and we only say all the intensity,
right,
and the energy and how much he cares about this team, how animated he's out in the sidelines. You also have to make decisions and making the right decisions. And today was a good example of Diego Simeone making the right decisions at halftime and making the changes that were necessary for Atletico Madrid.
One of those changes in the 58th minute, Joao Felix coming on for Antoine Griezmann. Mm-hmm. He only got 58 minutes in his return. What'd you make of Griezmann's performance?
Look,
Was it that much different than Barcelona?
It's copy, mm-hmm, cut, and paste from Barcelona to what we saw today with Atletico Madrid. He's running, he's working, he's combining, but really not doing much that makes a difference in the attacking half. It's not impactful enough. It's, and I know he's a different type of player, so comparing apples and oranges here a little bit. When Vinicius grabs the ball, you know something's about to happen. When Griezmann grabs the ball nowadays, at least from what we see with Barcelona, or what we saw from Barcelona and what we saw today with Atletico Madrid, he's probably going to take a touch back and he's going to pass it sideways. And you see that happening time and time again, which it's okay, he keeps possession of the ball, but it's not quite what you're expecting from a guy like we saw in the game in France, that he's scoring goals in the manner in which he did. You want to see that with some consistency. You're just not seeing it at all from Antoine Griezmann, not at the club level anyways.
Frank, what'd you make of his performance today? You've often asked that he be out of Messi's shadow. Well, here he is. How do you play?
Well, I guess we have to give him more time before making a statement. We know that he's a player. I totally agree with Alejandro. We didn't see the difference today from what we saw for the past 2 years with Barcelona. But we saw a better game from Antoine Griezmann when he played for the national team against Finland, the last game where he was more involved offensively. Yes, he's going to run. Yes, he's going to give everything defensively. Yes, he's going to help his teammates out. But what we want to see is the finisher that we saw when he was playing for Atleti, when he was the leader of the attack. That might take a little bit of time because he has to get his confidence back. I'm sure he's only at 60% of his skills, and we have to give him more time. Hopefully, he's going to get his best very, very soon.
Atleti then with Griezmann in the starting lineup, pick up the 3 points. That leaves them tied atop the table with Real Madrid and Valencia. Real Sociedad, they're rounding out your top four teams in La Liga. So what's coming your way tomorrow on ESPN Plus? We got a doubleheader of La Liga action, Getafe and Elche. That one at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Then at 4 p.m. Eastern time, Granada against Real Betis.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Liverpool 3-0 away to Leeds in the only match in the Premier League on Sunday. Your goal scorers for Liverpool, Mo Salah, who hits for the 100th time in the Premier League, Sadio Mane and Fabinho. The big story in this one, though, Harvey Elliott, talented young player for Liverpool, leaves the match on the hour mark, stretchered off with a gruesome ankle injury. The latest word is that Elliott has been discharged from the hospital. Time then to welcome in Nader Manua. Frank Leboeuf, been with us for a while. Nadim, I'll start with you. Liverpool, aside from the injury, pretty much perfect today. Everybody who'd want on the score sheet got on it.
Yeah, for sure. I think they look really good. I think playing against Leeds, especially at Elland Road, tends to be a tough game. But overall, I think Liverpool handled their threat very well. They moved the ball well. They knew when to sort of like jump tactically and get the better of them. And the front line looked good. Looking at Jota, looking at Mane, looking at Salah, who's now scored 100 goals in the Premier League. You know, they look like a very confident side. It's almost like the Liverpool of old. So, as I said, you know, it could have been a very tricky tie for them, but they look comfortable overall.
Frank, you agree? Another step towards the Liverpool of old?
I don't. I mean, I accept all comments from Nadum, but I don't agree with him, especially offensively. I mean, defensively, Van Dijk is back. They found the security tool. You know, the guy is the real skipper of that team. I think Trent Alexander-Arnold has to really work defensively. Is the way he can cover sometimes the offside is absolutely horrendous at some point. I think Liverpool, you know, 3 years ago, Liverpool was perfect in every department. And now in the middle of the park, I'm still concerned about how they defend, how they work all together. And offensively, I found the trio before it was Mane, Firmino and Salah working very, very hard together, trying to find each other, where nowadays, and it's not Jota's fault, but mostly for me, Mane and Salah, they work in a very selfishness kind of mind. They only think about, I have the ball, I try to score. I don't care about the others. They don't try to make passes. And I was quite upset with the situation. Sometimes it's Salah. Today, most of the time was Mane. When he had the ball so many times, he could have given the ball to either Jota or Salah, but kept the ball, be stubborn a little bit, finally scored a goal, but no please for me with that kind of behavior, because I know the talented player, I know the fantastic player, and I know they can play together. They already showed that. So I'm not convinced with the way they were behaving at front.
Nadum, Frank says he disagrees with what you say, but with all due respect. So what do you make of it?
And with all and respectfully, what I would say is that some of those problems with Liverpool existed in the past when they were getting 90 plus points per season. I think the front three, when they were playing traditionally, they're not really the type of front three that gets a ton of assists for each other. They're people who they're not obsessed with scoring, but it matters a lot to them. I think it's no surprise that Salah takes shots sometimes when maybe he should pass. But it's also the same for Trent Alexander-Arnold. For even the times when they were winning the league, defensively, there were always question marks around him. So when I say it's gone kind of back to the old Liverpool, like, some of those flaws, they were sort of masked because they scored so many goals and defensively they were so strong. So when you look at their team now and look at the way they're confidently playing in that side, compare that to what it was when they had so many injuries at the back, say, just under a year ago. They look like a completely different side. But as I see them today, it feels familiar. And yes, they are potentially greedy up front and so on. But, you know, that's ultimately what makes them a threat. And that's why at the end of the season, you tend to have 2-3 players for them who probably somewhere between 50 to 20 goals. So, you know, I see it, and respectfully, I disagree with Frank disagreeing with me.
we've got two defenders there talking about selfish attackers, Ale. Mm. What about you? Salah and Mane, are they selfish to you?
Yes.
Are they supposed to be?
No. Okay. See, they are selfish in certain areas mm-hmm. of the field. But how many times do we then say, you know, wish he had been selfish there? These are guys that live off of scoring goals. And there are moments in which that selfishness is called for. My concern with the front three is not whether they're selfish or unselfish with the ball on their feet. They have to be unselfish with the pressure that they put on other teams defensively. They have to be unselfish with their willingness to defend the way that they did. At their best, the front three, they were great offensively. But they were also great defensively in that they sort of gave us the framework as to what Liverpool was going to be, because they were the first line of confrontation. They do that, then they allow Liverpool to continue to play with that energy and intensity that takes them into the attacking half, and with that ability to turn the ball over in bad areas, and now they can continue their attack. That's the part that I think this front three is not doing nearly as well. Mm. They're taking too many breaks once they turn the ball over. They have to be that first line of pressure. And then that would make the job of the midfield, which I think, to me, this is the area that would be really concerned with Liverpool, is the midfield. They have their engine in that midfield is not quite as strong as it used to be. And so therefore, those flaws that we see defensively, they start from the top, they get even worse through the midfield, and now all of a sudden the back line is having to clear out the danger. That pressure from the front three has got to be better, and then the midfield job would be a whole lot easier.
Pablo, Liverpool dominant today. How close are they to the Liverpool of old?
Well, obviously, Liverpool always, you know, it's a team that they like to play attacking forward. They have so much threat going forward. And especially, you know, away from home, Leeds always a hard, really, you know, team to play against because they're so intense. But they show, you know, so much personality. I mean, Liverpool, I'm a big fan of Jurgen Klopp, how his team every single season is still there. In the way they keep the team playing, you know, very aggressive off the ball. And then the quality is there. I know that always Salah, Mane, they're always looking to score goals. They have been playing together for so many years now. They know what they're doing. So, yeah, they're still one of the big contenders again to win the Premier League again.
Let's see where they stack up in the table. Liverpool there third. Tied for first, really, on 10 points. Manchester United and Chelsea City, 9 points from their first four games. Now, those four are pretty much everybody's picks to be in the top four. How do the odds makers have them? There you go. That's the order. Different from the table. City, your top favorite. Chelsea, second. Not much really separating Liverpool and Manchester United. Pablo, do you think Manchester City, as of right now, are the title favorites in the Premier League?
Yes, of course. I mean, when you look at the squad, we're still favourite. But obviously, this season, I think it's going to be really, really tough for them again. When you look at Man United, the players that they brought in last transfer window, Chelsea, Liverpool, you know, so many good teams at the moment. They're having great form. And it's going to be, of course, really hard. But for me, obviously, one of the main goals for Manchester City at the moment is the Champions League. I mean, in the life, when you look at the last few years or 10 days, 10 years, let's say, they domestically, they won everything. And but probably that Champions League trophy is the one that they're looking for.
Nadim, even without a true number nine, are City your favorites as well?
Yeah, I can see why they're favourites, but one thing I would say is that the other sides in and around it now, I feel like their starting 11s are a lot closer to what City's have been in the past. But as far as seasons go, you know, there are times when we expect suspensions, we expect injuries and so on. And for City, I think they still have just that little bit extra when it comes down to their squad. Because, you know, they went and beat Leicester on the weekend and they could bring on Fernandinho, they could bring on Kevin De Bruyne, Phil Foden, Raheem Sterling if they wanted to, John Stones. So, you know, their next line of players are all capable of winning the title as well. So I think that's why you'd have them as favourites. But in any particular game, I wouldn't necessarily expect City to be able to just beat absolutely everybody. So, yeah, I understand it. I understand it. And I think that's purely off the squad that they have now and the success that they've had in the past. So it makes sense. But what difference does it make anyway come the end of the season?
So did he commit to making them the favorites or no?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He did. So. Okay, he kind of said that he understood
I said was that somebody else has called them the favorite, and I understand. But I'm not putting a bet on, but I understand.
I love how we asked the two former City players how they felt about City's title odds. A reminder, Nadim will be with us, as will you, for extra time
A
bit later on, which you can always catch on the NFC YouTube channel. Frank as well. Answering all your questions from social media.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Top 10 places in the championship look like this. West Brom and Fulham very early on in your spots for automatic promotion. Stoke City, QPR, Bournemouth and Coventry round out your top six.
It's a great restaurant in Cardiff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Putted Pig.
Oh. Nice. You were there for Champions League, yeah?
That is correct.
And that was where Gab told you couldn't order something? Or
no.
Another story.
I don't hang out with Gab.
We'll save that story for extra time. Ale, Frank, Nadim, and your questions. Stay with us. All right, everybody, welcome into this edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time on a beautiful Sunday alongside Alejandro Moreno. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Do we have extra time questions? I've got like 7,000 pieces of paper in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think any of them are the extra time questions.
Oh, that's good.
So this is me doing this bit.
No. You want me to go get them?
Yeah,
I'll get them.
Show us that speed.
I got speed. I got speed. You know. I'm playing October 16th, Legends Tour.
Oh, really? What? Crew Legends? Venezuela Legends?
Venezuela Legends.
Wow, yeah. Beautiful.
I'm in training right now.
Okay. Okay, we got...
Enjoy. For the first time, you don't have a selfish striker, so enjoy. You know?
As mentioned there, we have Nadim Manua and Frank Laveau, who you just heard. They'll be helping us with the questions. First one.
Did you see the change of pace, though?
I did see the change of pace. You and I, you know, we played pickup soccer before quite a bit at the Monumental. Uh-huh. I've seen that change of pace.
Surprising, though. Yes. It's a little surprising. I even surprised myself sometimes.
It's almost like, you know, in a Ronaldo-esque evolution from your MLS playing days, there's more change of pace.
Yes, now, absolutely.
Some might say. Dan the Orange Man asks, Ale, can Vinicius develop into one of the best wingers in the world if he continues improving his end product? We just talked about that.
He already has.
Yeah.
He's already there. He's already among the best wingers in the world. Now he just has to find the consistency and the productivity. But from the first four matches that we have seen this season in La Liga, no question about it. Vinicius, difference maker for Real Madrid.
Yeah, and as you said, almost has to be in that starting 11 for Carlo Ancelotti. Absolutely. Dobbs asks, who owned the weekend in the Premier League? Ronaldo, Edouard, or Lukaku? I'll start with you, Frank.
Well, can we have all of them?
No. You know,
all the three. Well, they all scored two goals.
Mm-hmm.
I will be a little bit corporate, so I will say Lukaku. but I have to say that on the three, I would love to put Edouard because he just arrived. On the first touch, he scored. The second one, he scored another one almost. So, two goals for his first game, Edouard.
Scored 27 seconds into his first game there against Spurs. Nadim, who you taking of the three? We got to give some love to Ronaldo here, right? It was just such a moment.
I didn't think that it would get to me and people hadn't already given Ronaldo love.
Right.
Because the fact of the matter is, to you guys, they scored really important goals and all that stuff. But Saturday, 3 o'clock, was Ronaldo day. People just waiting to see when he was going to score. I've seen so many videos of people in the stadium, people sharing videos of him scoring. So, you know, as far as like a big moment in the Premier League goes, the reality is it has to go to Ronaldo because, you know, the king is back for them. So, yeah, it has to be him.
You do know that whoever asked this question, I am guessing, and this is merely a guess, a Ronaldo fan already. And you're only setting it up so that we can say,
right,
absolutely, 100%, Cristiano Ronaldo.
I mean, the other two were great stories in their own right.
But not Ronaldo's story.
Nothing like that. We talked to Mark Ogden yesterday for digital work. Uh-huh. He said he's like never heard Old Trafford like that. It was just, you know, crazy.
So hold on a second. You caught a day in which Mark Ogden was excited?
He was very excited.
Wow.
He was very excited, yeah.
Wow.
That's what Old Trafford with Ronaldo and it'll do to you. It'll get even Mark electrified. All right, Nate, I'm back to you. With the lack of that number nine and other teams strengthening in the transfer window, do you feel Man City can still go deep in the league and in the Champions League?
Yeah, 100%. I think when you sort of look at how last season panned out for them. Some people might say it's an exception, but the fact is they've already scored 11 goals in the league this year without that number nine. But Ferran Torres is doing a good job. Whoever's playing in there, they understand their role in the team and they're flooding bodies into the box. And it might not necessarily be as clinical as if they had someone like an Aguero fully firing on all cylinders like years gone by, but they didn't need that last year to nearly win everything. So I think there's a lot of confidence within that squad, there's confidence with the manager. And, you know, well, they can beat anybody on their day. So, you know, I'm not too concerned, and I'm sure the players aren't too concerned either, because a strike would have been good, but not necessarily essential. Mm.
David asks, is the luck of champions a real thing, Ale, as Atleti won again today in the last minute of the game? It's actually the ninth minute of stoppage time. Mm.
Yes, it is. It is a real thing.
Is it because other teams fear the champions? Or, like, what's the psychology there?
Well, for the team that feels like they have the luck of champions with them, then the game is never over. You always feel like you have an opportunity to come back in a game, and you have that sense of belief within the team that we're going to get this back. We're going to get it right because we have enough players that can make plays for us. We got enough players that can make a difference for us, and we're going to win this game. So when you have that belief, that's important. But as much as you have that belief, the other teams also know that you have that belief, that you feel so strongly about your team, and that you're going to keep coming, you're going to keep challenging them, and they're almost expecting things to go wrong for them. And eventually, well, you expect things to go wrong, eventually they do go wrong, and eventually the champions take over. Mm.
Is Marcelo Bielsa's football philosophy setting up Leeds United for a potential relegation battle? Would he even consider parking a bus to stop conceding goals? Frank, what do you think?
He will never park a bus in front of his 16-yard box because he's not that type of guy. He's going to keep on going with his philosophy, which, you know, I still have some doubts because I've seen him, you know, working with Marseille and now with Leeds. And there are some question marks, you know, at some point where physically, I guess, the players get very tired. The demands on what you ask to the front players, you know, has consequences on their finishing after. And sometimes you see players all over the place. So if they're not all smart enough to compensate, it's getting very difficult. So it's going to be tricky for Bielsa this season.
Nathan, it really is fun to watch. As a player, though, do you think it wears the players down?
Perhaps, but I think the two examples of like bad defeats this season so far have come from teams who tactically got it very, very right. So you look at the way Manchester United played against them in that first game in Liverpool today. They tried to make sure that Leeds man marking them became a weakness for Leeds. But I would argue that most teams in the Premier League aren't tactically that astute nor have that level of talent within their sides to be able to do that. So when you play against Leeds, you're likely to have an uncomfortable game. And I don't think they'll necessarily be involved in relegation battle. Obviously, time will tell to see if I'm wrong. But they do have something. They have the ability to score goals. And even to look at today's game, like how different could things have been if Rodrigo could have actually made a better attempt when he was completely open, like 12 yards away from goal. You know, that could have changed the whole flow of the game. So they're not the worst team. But, you know, questions will always be asked when this new strategy or different strategy doesn't work. But I think it's going to work more often than not this season.
Did any of the guys ever jump into the crowd similar to how Vinny did today? We saw it in the 5-2 win for Real Madrid after he got his goal, sprinted over the crowd.
Yeah. Social distancing and protocols were not quite where they needed to be there.
But it was a moment. I mean, you can kind of understand. It's first game back in the Bernabeu.
I'm just stating fact that.
Yeah. We all said it when we saw it. We were like,
oh, it's a little tight.
Yeah.
And I can't wait on then whenever we get to a point in which you can do these things and not have to think about, you know, is that COVID approved or not? Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever jumped into the crowd, but I certainly have run towards whatever the fan section is, and at the very least, get in touch with the fans, get a beer.
You ever, South America, I imagine like the fence. You ever like rattle the fence?
Well, never did the fence. Here's the other thing. There are times in South America when that fence doesn't quite
collapses,
hold, doesn't quite hold up. So you don't, you are
even
discouraged.
At your playing weight, at your much thinner playing.
Yeah, well, you're discouraged from going over to that fence. That and you it, usually it's a little far from the goal. So yeah, no, that's too much running for me.
Nadim, you seem like an understated kind of guy. I can't really see you running over and diving into the fans. You ever done it?
Well, the bigger thing really here is the fact that in my career, compared to Ali's, I only had 16 opportunities to do such a thing.
Right.
And most of the goals I scored were not really that significant. And as well, for some of the clubs I played for, if I went into the crowd, it would cost me money. So the smart thing to do was just try and act like scoring is a normal everyday thing and just jog back to the halfway line. So unfortunately, yeah, this level-headedness was what was made of me, not who I actually was.
Nadim, so
yeah, I've never did that, but I would have loved to have had that feeling.
So like you would have been fined by your manager if you would have gone into the stands?
Yeah, we used to get fines for like talking back to referees, certain types of fouls. And if you got a cheap yellow card like that, then you get, you'd receive a letter on the Monday morning and you would have to pay it. So, you know, sometimes the wise thing is to just say like, thanks fans. That was a terrific moment. We share the love. Bye-bye. Yeah.
And who's this letter coming from, Nadim?
It's coming from the board, the directors, all that stuff.
The bosses.
Because unfortunately,
bosses.
There was one particular spell when I was at QPR. It felt, it literally felt like they didn't want, they wanted to give you those letters. So you always made sure that you're on your best behavior because it started to be, get a bit too expensive to be playing for their clubs.
Mm-hmm. Frank, any great celebration with the fan stories?
Not really, because I think craziness belongs to offensive players. You know, we're more conservative as defenders. I only once ended up in the stands playing for Chelsea when I tried to save a corner kick and I couldn't stop, so I jumped into the fans. But I'm claustrophobic, so I would have never do that after a goal. I didn't like all my teammates to come towards me and to be too close to me, so I try to avoid that, even if I score a little bit more goal than Nedim.
All right, okay.
A lot to unpack there.
I respect the fact that he may be claustrophobic, right? He does know that claustrophobia is in a closed space, right?
I'm not going to argue
No. If you are under, if you go on, you know, you they put you down and you go over you, like in rugby, you can get claustrophobic, even if it's outside. I'm that kind of guy.
I know, but if you're in the stands, you're still, you know, you're celebrating with the people. You're taking the love for the people. They're not going to do anything to you. They're loving you, Frank.
Look, Frank needs a space.
Okay? Yeah, apparently. That's what I got from this.
I need my space. I need my space. Yes. Leave me alone.
He needs a space.
Right,
a space to a World Cup champion is what he needs.
Oh, man. You know what? You learn things.
You learn things about people, right?
I thought I was going to learn this from his book, but he hasn't sent me one yet.
Oh, you haven't got the signed copy yet. I got mine in the mail yesterday. I don't even read French.
Oh, well, I have not received anything from Frank. Maybe he's leaving me alone, just like he wants to be left alone.
He's giving you space.
You know, receive my best regards. It's already one thing.
Frank and Nadim, as defenders, how difficult is it to mentally prepare to face a phenom attacker after seeing them in the tunnel? Do you try to get in their heads or simply let your game speak for itself? Nadim?
Nah, the tunnel stuff's irrelevant. You know, as soon as you go out there on the field, it's just, it's another guy who you're playing against. You know their strengths, you know how good they are, but still, you're there to try and stop them. And I always thought the worst thing you could possibly do is to sort of fear them, because you take a step back. And the moment you take a step back, that's when they look even better than they are. So just go and get in their face and see, like, everybody can play if they've got time, but get in their face in terms of how you play against them and see how they do. It's your job to make it as hard as possible. There's never a guarantee you'll stop somebody scoring. But the whole tunnel stuff, that's irrelevant. You know, they're the same as people before games who give big, huge team talks and stuff like this and then go out on the field and do nothing. So for me, you know, just save it till you get on the field and then you'll see how you get on from there.
Frank, you messing with guys in the tunnel?
Never. I always respected players. I had my poker face, so very tuned in, you know, completely closed. And I always thought it will be the ball. It would be either the ball or the guy, but it can't be both, you know. So make sure they don't both go away from you.
Plus, he was concerned about the claustrophobia in the tunnel. Mm-hmm. You know, it's close quarters, a lot of people. Ah, we got to get out on the field. Let's go. The same.
We heard from the defenders. We didn't hear from a phenom attacker. Did anybody ever talk trash to you in the tunnel?
I'm sure they did.
Hey, you just didn't pay attention.
I had my own issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever they were saying didn't really matter. I had my own concerns.
Final question. Who will...
To that point, like, say you're standing in a tunnel, as I did many times in planes, say, for example, against Uruguay, right? Mm-hmm. And I know I'm playing by myself up top. Oh. And I know it's Godin and it's Lugano that I'm playing against, for, say, a couple of names. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I'm not really going to get a chance today, am I? This is going to be a whole lot of running for no reason whatsoever.
And probably the last thing you want to do is tick those guys off, right? So in the tunnel, you just...
No, I mean, look, again, the concern was, am I really going to get an opportunity today? Probably not.
Final question. Who will win the European Golden Boot first? Oh, great question.
Oh.
Mbappe or Haaland?
I'm going to go with Haaland.
Yeah.
Natural goal scorer.
Yeah. Yeah. That easy for you? You didn't even...
Well, the only thing that would make me doubt is the fact that there's going to be so much attention on Neymar and Messi that Mbappe is going to get so many opportunities. Because he is going to be...
Oh, I thought that's... I would have thought that's why you didn't pick Mbappe, because he was going to have to share the goals with everybody.
Well, no. Because I'm thinking the way that Messi is playing nowadays is more of sort of like a guy who's going to be in a deeper position delivering the pass. Of course, he's going to score a bunch of goals, but people are going to focus on Messi. People are going to focus on Neymar. That leaves somebody open, and that player who's going to be open most of the time is going to be Mbappe.
Natum, who wins the European Golden Boot first, Mbappe or Haaland?
So I think Mbappe, but I think this is after both players have moved clubs. Because I think Mbappe, if he goes to Real Madrid, he could be the person that scores 40 goals in a team that scores at 100. But I think where Haaland goes, I think he'll sit at around 30. But I don't think either of them will ever really make it there at this moment for their respective clubs.
Frank, who you taking between the two?
I don't care. I don't give a stuff. You know, that's not my cup of tea. What is that? I didn't even know
French
that
Craig Burley joins
existing.
Us.
I know the... No, yes, exactly. Well, in that matter, yes. Okay. I hate that, those awards. We already have the Ballon d'Or. I didn't even know that the Golden Boots was existing.
Golden Boot is for who scores the most goals. So it's not really like it's not an award based on choosing. It's an award based on the numbers, right?
I cannot believe.
Yeah. But when you play football, and we talked about Manchester City before, saying that they play with no strikers, but they score, you know, crazy amount of goals. That's what I want to see in football. I don't care who scores goals.
Look, again, I've learned so much today. Mm-hmm. So Frank doesn't like to be close to people. And Frank doesn't like this individual awards. Mm-hmm. Frank played at Chelsea. Frank is a lot like Craig Burley. That, my friend, is not a place you want to be, Frank.
I know. But you know, you have to be, you have to be truthful first, and you have to also accept, you know, who you are and who you don't want to be.
Yes.
Well,
I don't want to be the one who likes the golden boots. So I'm going to be the Craig Burley of France.
Oh.
And with very much pride.
If anyone has accepted who they are on this show, I think it is truly Frank.
Oh, absolutely.
I think if there's anyone who's comfortable in their own skin, it's definitely Frank LeBeau. And he does not give a stuff.
No, he does not. He told us. He told us he does not give a stuff.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of Extra Time. Thanks to Frank. Thanks to Natum. Thanks to you, Ollie.
Oh, well, thank you.
And thanks to everybody that sent in the questions. We'll see you tomorrow back here on ESPN FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.